Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips for our weekly discussion of world affairs. Sexual harassment in the British Parliament and Trump's tour of Asia is on the agenda this week. I hope you enjoy. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And Tom, a good evening to you. I understand that you all have given up saving time. We still here in the States are having daylight savings time. I'm intrigued how much control we have over the things, you know, the movement of the stars and the sun, etc. So you no longer have daylight savings in Great Britain, is that right?
No, I'm sitting here in the dark.
Okay, well, you've been in the dark for quite some time, but that's another story for another time. But anyhow, okay. So you do they do have this weird concept that we can save time.
In the summer, what happens is you take some sunlight and you stick it in a bank.
Oh, okay.
And then when winter comes, you take it out, but you only attach it to the early hours. You know, they're borrowing it from the nighttime and attaching it to dawn.
Isn't it fascinating how mankind seems to think that can control even the movement of time? I'm sure that Einstein and others would be very interested in this concept. Well, with that said, Tom Arms, of course, joining us this evening. You have gone back to standard time there last weekend. Just a quick question. Does that create a great deal of, you know, confusion there in the United Kingdom? And by the way, do you have multiple time zones in the United Kingdom?
No, we only have one.
Oh.
We only have one. It doesn't create too much confusion. I mean, there's a few people who oversleep or... I mean, it's quite nice in a way. We get an extra hour this time of day that we can lie in bed.
Okay.
Or this time of year.
Well,
we can lie in bed. So that's quite pleasant. It's the switch over in the spring stroke summer that where we lose the hour that people really complain.
All right. And the quick question before we move on to items of international and national concern, the temperature and the weather there in your hometown of London.
It's not too bad. It's definitely autumnal, verging on winter.
Okay.
The temperature is in the upper 50s, I'd say. When the sun comes out, it's really nice. But when it decides to slip behind a cloud for a little while, the temperature plunges.
So basically, it's typical fall weather. Let's move on to issues of concern. And I want to start with the top issue here in the States. And of course, I'm curious what kind of coverage is getting there, both the United Kingdom and the European press. The story in New York City, the driver who is has every indication of having an ISIS connection, or ISIL connection, but ISIS connection is the one I prefer. How is that being covered there in the European community?
Well, it's been covered fairly straight. I mean, obviously, everyone is shocked, and they feel for New York, just as in the past they felt for Manchester and London and Paris and anywhere else which has suffered one of these attacks, you know, which are horrible things, and horrible things for the families. I think from a political point of view, which is what we have to address, that they've picked up on Trump immediately. It hasn't appeared in the opinion pieces yet.
Okay,
it's too early.
But you, okay.
It's starting to appear on the in the online newspapers.
All right. Now, when you say
no comment is really being expressed about it. Just that Trump has immediately jumped on that bandwagon. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm fascinated in light of the fact that this is very similar to situations that have happened twice now, if I'm not mistaken, in London and other communities. And it seems to me that then the appearance of the European press is more to criticize Trump than to take concern related to issues of national security. A final quick.
No. What they're criticizing, there's a difference. It's not the national security. They're criticizing extreme vetting.
Oh, okay.
Which they see, which has been interpreted here. I'm not saying that it's correct, but it's been interpreted here as basically stopping Muslims from entering the country.
And yet, we've talked about this in the past. We have no restrictions on folks from India, Indonesia, countries that are predominantly and have larger populations of Muslims. I find that interesting, but I don't want to belabor that. I want to move on to a variety of things. Very quickly, let's talk about the issue of the Russian connection, the indictments. How is that being covered there in Europe and particularly in the UK?
The Russia. Are we talking about Gates, Manafort, and Podesta? Are
yeah,
we?
Correct. Yes.
And Papadopoulos. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that is basically being covered. They think Manafort and Gates are a separate issue, and Podesta too, to a certain degree, is a separate issue. They're focusing on Papadopoulos. That one is money laundering involving the Ukraine, and the other, i.e., Papadopoulos, actually involves the possibility of collusion between the Trump campaign. And so they tend to separate those two. A lot of people said, you know, this is not the big thing, you know, that they need to have more uncovered before they can really make a judgment, that they don't think it's the bombshell that some people in the States think.
Okay, that's interesting. And by the way, there are others who agree with that this is not necessarily a bombshell. And the other aspect of this is really trying to make a connection to the Trump campaign. These are folks that have worked on the margins. And I might add, interestingly enough, in the case of the Podesta issue, and of course, we're talking about Tony Podesta, who is the brother of John Podesta, of course, the DNC chair and Clinton advisor, that Tony Podesta himself is very tainted because of his support, his relationship with Paul Manafort. Interestingly enough.
Yes, that is interesting. They both appear to have been in the pay of Yanukovych.
Right. And the other,
the former president of Ukraine. And I don't know, you know, is there a connection between Yanukovych, the Trump and or Clinton campaign, and the Russians? Is that why Manafort and Gates have been arrested? It's not clear enough to really make much of a judgment, I don't think.
Oh, no. And I just was wondering how
I don't think it is.
Wait a second.
On that score, neither do the press in Europe.
That's the question.
So they're holding back a bit.
Okay. And that was my question, is how the press is covering this, because obviously and I read to you a few moments ago, Tom, the concerns related to the internet, social media, and the Russian actors and the involvement of that. I'm just quick question. Is there an understanding there in Europe that, quite frankly, Russia is very interested in creating chaos? Is that their impression, or is this still a focus really on, if you will, the anti-Trump movement in Europe? Where is the...
Oh, no. No, I think there's very much a focus on Russia.
Okay.
Benefits from creating chaos.
Okay.
There have been a lot of suggestions that, in fact, you know, by supporting Trump or not supporting Trump or whatever, they have created basically the conditions of division which suit Russia, because it hamstrings whoever is in power in the White House or anywhere else. So anything which weakens the EU, anything which weakens the United States as a politically effective power, is in Russia's interest.
I'm curious, is there an understanding as to why it's in Russia's interest?
Well, yes. Yes, it is. I mean,
why? What are they saying? How does this...
Simply because it increases, it decreases the effectiveness of the Russians, or I mean the Europeans and America, to deal with issues such as Ukraine or Moldova. Mm-hmm. And that increases the Russian influence in those areas.
All right. Tom Arms.
And same with the Middle East.
Okay.
I mean, Russia now is in fact, I believe that Putin is meeting with the Iranian president basically to discuss Russian involvement in helping the Iranian nuclear industry.
I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Of course, just to remind folks, we have Tom Arms with us this afternoon. Yes, we are pre-recording this due to the late hour of our program, which of course is midnight his time there in the United Kingdom and London where he is. But our guest this afternoon, of course, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
This is Tom Arms with the expanded Look Ahead World Analysis for the week being the 6th of November. Look Ahead broadcasts tomorrow's news today so that you can plan to participate. An integrated EU defense structure moves a step closer next week when the European military chiefs meet in Brussels on Monday to discuss how to set up a permanent command. Their generals and admirals will also discuss EU operations in Bosnia, off the Horn of Africa, and in the Mediterranean. The defense theme continues with a regular session of NATO defense ministers on Thursday and Friday. Their main topic is what the Europeans discussed, along with ongoing issues related to Afghanistan, North Korea, Iraq, Syria, Iran, and the Ukraine. In London, alleged terrorist Khalid Ali goes on trial on Monday for carrying a set of dangerous blades outside the Prime Minister's home at 10 Downing Street. And in the Netherlands, Esatu Alumu goes on trial for war crimes committed in Ethiopia during the Red Terror of the 1970s. Alumu claims it's a case of mistaken identity. Three big elections in the U.S. on Tuesday, the mayoralty of New York and the governorships in New Jersey and Virginia. Bad news for Trump. All three are tipped to go to a Democratic Party candidates. Trump himself is out of the country on an Asian tour, which will take in Japan, South Korea, China, Vietnam, and the Philippines. In Vietnam, he will push his America First policy at a meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. And in the Philippines, he will attend celebrations to mark the 50th anniversary of ASEAN. Everywhere, he will push for tougher measures against North Korea. In the U.S. Senate, the CEOs of Equifax and Yahoo will be grilled by members of the Commerce Committee about data breaches which affected billions of their customers. Down the hall, they will want to know what is being done to connect rural America to the digital world. In Bonn, the signatories to the Paris Climate Change Agreement meet on Monday to discuss President Trump's decision to withdraw from the pact. The United States and Syria are the only two countries not signed up. On Tuesday, OPEC publishes its annual World Oil Outlook. At the beginning of 2017, analysts predicted oil prices would drop to as low as $10 a barrel. At the end of October, they reached a two-year high of $61.37. Slovenia stages a runoff presidential election on Sunday after incumbent Borut Pahor just failed to win the 50% plus required for a first-round victory. Pahor won 47% of the vote. His nearest rival, comedian Marjan Šarec, trailed well behind him with 25%. And that was next week's news today so that you can plan to participate in the world around you. Stay tuned for Viewpoints Around the World with myself and Lockwood Phillips.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And again, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate the sleeping arrangement for our guest, Tom Arms. It's midnight as this, or nearly midnight as this air program begins to air. Tom, I want to stay with the issue very quickly on the Russian connection and the issues there. There's been a lot of coverage here on the connection with the Clintons, particularly uranium sales. And we mentioned a few moments ago, Tony Podesta, who is the brother of John Podesta. And of course, John Podesta himself, somewhat caught by surprise with his brother's association with Paul Manafort. The question is that getting any coverage there? Is or how is that being... When I talked to you last week about this, it wasn't very well known.
And it's same this week. And again, it's actually appeared in print a couple of places. And the argument is the fact, why are they focusing on Trump's problems and not focusing on Hillary's? And the argument is that Trump is the president. Mm-hmm. Hillary failed to become the president. And that the purpose of the press or the media in general is to focus on those who are in power, not those who failed to win power.
Quick question for you, Tom. You know, recognizing that this is really a result of a more pressing issue, and we touched on it briefly a moment ago, and that is Russian interference, if you will, or at least Russian involvement in international issues, political items. Does this, though, raise the level of concern about the role of foreign involvement in what is normally a local issue? And by the way, just have to remind everyone that President Putin himself is very unhappy with Hillary Clinton because he felt that she was interfering in his election in Russia. And we've had experiences with previous administrations. But is there a concern now that, quite frankly, their boundaries have or borders have no major boundaries anymore to prevent this sort of interference?
Oh, there's great concern about it.
Okay.
Great concern about it. It was concern, you know, people are raising the issue about Brexit. Mm-hmm. You know, was there Russian involvement in that?
Right.
The French president banned the Russian press from his press conferences during the election. Macron. It's coming up all over the place. And yes, you're right. It does cut both ways. And it's historic. I mean, even before we had the internet, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that during the 50s, the United States was funding the Christian Democratic Party in Italy. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep the Communist Party out of power in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
it's a well-known fact.
No, and you're right. And you said a moment ago, it cuts both ways. Both parties have been participating. It's just now, if you will, suddenly it's ratcheted up. And sadly, many of these Western
countries... Doesn't make it right.
No. Many of the Western countries are ill-prepared. And, well, quite frankly, I've been relatively naive. Let's move on to other items again with you, Tom. Tom Arms of lookaheadnews.com. Just to remind you about subscribing to his podcast, as, of course, listening to his radio programs, Look Ahead Radio as well. And I want to talk about one other item very quickly, Trump's Asian tour. How is that being covered? Of course, it's still some time off, but he's headed to China. He's also going to visit, I think, Vietnam, South Korea, Japan. And it was noted today that he is not going to be visiting the DMZ there between North and South Korea. How is that being covered there?
There are a few trailers here and there, basically trying to work out the agenda mm-hmm. in each country. And it's pretty clear what they're going to be. I mean, Tillerson has been talking to them as well, basically clearing the way for his master. What's going to happen in Japan? Obviously, that's a congratulatory visit as much as anything, because Shinzo Abe has just been reelected for the fourth time. Mm-hmm. The issue of North Korea will be absolute top of the agenda. But part of that issue is Shinzo Abe's efforts or hopes and aspirations to rearm Japan, to rewrite the constitution so that they can take a more active military role outside of strictly Japanese areas. So that, I think, would be encouraged by Trump from what I've heard. And if Shinzo Abe could get some support from him, it would help him to fight against the very strong pacifist wing in Japan. South Korea, obviously, we're talking there entirely about North Korea, nothing else. They are a bit concerned, the administration, as I understand it, that China and South Korea are getting on a bit better. In China itself, well, Trump has come out and said, congratulations to Xi Jinping. You may have noticed that tweet a day or two ago. Mm-hmm. Xi Jinping did very well out of the 19th Party Congress and is now firmly in charge of the Chinese political scene. And Trump is, in a sense, looking forward to seeing him because, you know, he knows now that Xi has the power. He's fresh from winning the race. So if he can get any concessions out of Beijing, then now's the time to do it.
And of course, associated with that will be possibly North Korea, in light of the fact that even China has requested, I think is a mild word, that North Korea stop any of its nuclear testing. And of course, there's some grave concern about the condition of the test facility, that being a mountain, that appears to begin to is beginning to collapse. And should it collapse, it will release a lot of nuclear debris into the atmosphere. So there are some concerns there. It seems to me that China and the U.S. have a lot in common. How, again, is the European press preparing for this?
Well, they're reporting it fairly straight. There's no real opinions yet. I think they're waiting to see what comes out of the visits. There have been one or two suggestions that actually you will see some concessions from China. It's odd that when a political leader is at his strongest, that's when he can make the most concessions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other issue, of course, is South China Sea.
Right.
And oddly enough, I don't think you get any concessions out of China on that at the moment. They have gone through another spate of building up their defense islands or defensive features in the South China Sea. That is more important to them in many ways than North Korea. It's what the public in China has latched on to. And the big opposition to that comes from Vietnam.
Right. And by the way, the president is planning to visit Vietnam, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And go ahead.
It used to be that the big opposition came from the Philippines, who took right. China to court. But then Duterte appears to have sold out to the Chinese in return for investment.
Well,
and so you're not going to get any support from the Philippines on that. And the leader there, Duterte, as we all know, he's a bit of a maverick. He seems to be playing the Russia and China card against the U.S. to try and get more support and aid from the U.S.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Coming back right after this break to talk about issues, well, related to Europe. I'm looking forward to this. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us this afternoon from London, it's pre-recorded, of course, to accommodate his sleeping time. It's nearly midnight as this program is airing. Tom, a lot of things to talk about. We've been paying close attention to, obviously, sexual escapades here in the States and some concerns, of course, predominantly with Hollywood. But apparently, that topic has also been generated in the United Kingdom. And so, tell us what's happening. I think they were called sex pests by someone in Parliament. What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, it's spreading to Parliament. And I don't think it'll take long before it spreads to Congress as well.
Oh, my goodness, already, yes. It's already spread to Congress, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a list going around here in the UK, and quite a few journalists have seen it, of 36 conservative members of parliament who they think will be charged or named or whatever, alleged to have taken part in sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
They're focusing on the conservatives, probably because conservatives do it more because they tend to be more misogynistic, if you like. Conservative, small C as well as a large C. any rate, if the issue is really hot here, it is in the States, if these 36 MPs are raked over the coals, a certain number of them will quite likely have to resign. And if they do, the government could likely fall.
Oh, okay. And that's Theresa May's government. All right. Very interesting. Focuses on conservatives doesn't happen among liberals. I find that interesting. But the other aspect of it is...
No, liberals don't believe in sex.
Oh, okay. Good. Because it is interesting. One of the liberal...
No sex, please. We're liberal.
Well, the liberal hotbed of the United States is in Hollywood. And my goodness. That seems to be just the opposite here in the States. The other aspect of this, of course, if you've had your entertainers there in the United Kingdom who have for years been, well, questioned about their escapades in a variety of fashions, both homosexual and heterosexual, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. We had a big case about a late DJ called Jimmy Savile,
right.
Who was, basically... He was accused of pedophilia after he died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge case which ran for a long time. And the reason was because he was so heavily involved in charities as well.
Mm.
He was a real heroic type figure. And it was, him being knocked off his pedestal.
Well,
now, we also have Kevin Spacey's a big man over here. Kevin Spacey... was director of the Old Vic. He spends a lot of his time here in London.
So that story, of course, is resonating there in the United Kingdom as well. A quick comment you made a moment ago, Tom, and we'll get over to the issue here in a few moments of the influence of disputes within the Europe. We'll call it the continent, Spain. You mentioned a moment ago that if these conservatives are in fact required to step down, it could undermine the Theresa May's cabinet. If that happens, is there any effort on the part of opponents who might be seeking out similar stories on liberals? And is this turning into possibly a witch hunt there in the UK? It's definitely, in my opinion, turning into a witch hunt here in the United States. But what about the feeling, overall feeling in the United Kingdom? And is there any coverage of this on the continent, France, Spain, Germany, etc.?
Well, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, France is passing a law to prevent basically sexual harassment, especially in public places. So no wolf whistling or anything like that anymore.
Right.
I don't know. Is it a witch hunt? It's difficult to say.
It's one of those things. And I don't want to belabor it, but
it's a judgment call.
It is a judgment call.
It's a judgment call.
Let's move on.
If I say it's a witch hunt, every feminist in the world will say, you would say that.
Yep,
you're male.
Yeah, exactly. No.
If I didn't say, if I said, well, maybe not, which is what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think it's quite gotten to that stage. Certainly, the women in Parliament have, by nature, tended to be feminist, as you would expect. And they are taking the lead in trying to open cases of sexual harassment in Parliament.
Interesting. Let's move on to other items with you. Tom Arms, of course, of lookaheadnews.com, Look Ahead Radio. Tom, we've got some items we've got to touch on. Catalonia, the fact that they have, in fact, separated from the rest of Spain. And the leader, as I understand, has moved to Brussels or has traveled to Brussels, saying that he's going to rely on the world court in Brussels, not the Spanish court. Of course, this does allude to the European Union, and I'm wondering, how does the European Union see Catalonia, the Catalonian president, seeking a redress in the European court?
They see it as a Spanish domestic issue.
Wow.
It is not an EU issue, and they have said this repeatedly. Mm. The Belgian government feels very uncomfortable having him there. They have said, basically, I think Deputy Prime Minister called him a coward and told him to go back to well, Catalonia, Spain, whichever you prefer to call it. Of course, Belgium has its own problems. They have a separatist party for the Flemish-speaking population. And that party is actually part of the coalition government in Belgium. So, you know, they don't want to be seen to be taking sides. They don't want him in the country. That's and there are people in Catalonia now who are calling him a coward.
Well, that is interesting in light of the fact that he's now relying on the European court and showing his support for the European court and, of course, the European Union amidst all of this. And the European Union, you would think, would seek to be an arbiter on this issue, but they choose not to be involved at all. It's confusing. We don't understand the overall concept or precepts of the European Union in light of the fact that the European Union has said, in essence, that the World Court or the European Court would be the arbiter of issues even within the countries in some instances. So now here's a situation where the court can be an arbiter and it chooses not to be. It is very confusing for us here in the States.
Okay, let me try and explain it to you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, almost every country in the EU has a faction within that country who would like to split off and form their own political unit.
Okay.
Based on language, culture, history, whatever.
Right.
I mean, there are exceptions to that. I don't think Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia fall into that category. Now, if the EU therefore got involved in this sort of thing, it would be encouraging others across Europe to do exactly the same. So they have a rule that they do not get involved in domestic political disputes. Notice all three words there: domestic, political, and dispute.
Okay.
I'm not talking about industrial disputes and things like that. I'm talking about domestic political disputes.
Somebody who is such as myself, who's very cynical about the European Union, doesn't quite see the connection that you're making, but I appreciate where you're coming from. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us. Tom, before we go to the next break, let's focus. Well, I want to focus on China, but really, very quickly, I want to bring this back full circle for a moment. Russia, the involvement of Russia in all of these issues in the States. We've had this situation there in the United Kingdom. France, Germany, as a matter of fact, Chancellor Merkel herself has expressed grave concerns about the Russian involvement in political domestic issues. Is there a sense that Russia may be playing a role even in Spain?
Yes.
Okay.
They've actually, not the Russians, but other people have said it.
Okay.
They've said that the Russians have been sending out tweets trying to do the same cyber propaganda, as they have done in other parts of the world, and this time trying to support the separatist movement in order to create division.
I think it's
to their advantage that Spain and Europe is divided.
Understood. We won't belabor that. I thought it was a very important topic I wanted to bring back full circle. Before we wrap it up, China is considering a 3-year jail term for disrespecting the flag.
Yes,
we ask our residents to please stand. If they don't, we just ignore them. What's going on in China?
Well, they don't have free speech.
Oh,
it's as simple as
really?
That. They
okay.
don't have any free speech. And so therefore they can get away with that. They don't have anything in their constitution which says, you know, you can say what you want. Quite the opposite. You can say what Xi Jinping wants you to say. And if you don't, you can end up in jail.
I'm wondering if maybe we should introduce football to China.
Maybe that's a good idea. Well, they do play. They have a very good soccer team.
No, I'm thinking about where we could have football players who would kneel with the display of the flag or something of that nature. You know, I just see how that would work. All right. Considering the financial strength of China, which seems to be growing at this point, Maybe they will introduce national football there as well. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. If you notice a little bit of, well, sarcasm and cynicism in my voice, I did that intentionally. All right, Tom, coming back in just a moment, I want to learn about managed democracy in Eastern Europe, and then we'll wrap it up with a pair of shoes being sold for $15 million. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. One of the great fears of the Cold War era was transatlantic decoupling. That is, the possibility that the link between economically and militarily powerful America and a Europe struggling to recover from two world wars would be broken. Without its across-the-sea protector, Western Europe was an easy target for the Russian military machine, and the U.S. would lose its closest political ally and most lucrative market. We're no longer in the Cold War, of course. Moscow is not threatening to impose communism on the world. But Putin has retained Russia's authoritarian tendencies and replaced the underlying political philosophy of international communism with nationalism. The Russian leader has also retained his country's national paranoia and the belief that the best defense is a good offense. So Europe still needs America. Or does it? This is a question which Europe, in the form of the member states of the EU, is asking itself. And the answers range from yes, we do, to a resounding it's time to move on. The British have taken the lead in the we need America camp. They were the driving force behind the creation of NATO back in 1949 and the wrecking force behind French attempts in the 1950s to create a more independent European defense arm. The transatlantic link suited British foreign policy. The special US-UK relationship gave them a pivotal foot in both camps, especially after they signed up to the European experiment in 1973. But now Britain is leaving Europe, and as it moves away, it leaves open the door to the French. Hampered by unruly trade unionists, navel-gazing philosophers, and an anachronistic agricultural system, the French have never achieved the economic power that would give them the dominant position in Europe. They are, however, the preeminent continental military power in Western Europe. But what good is that as long as the American conventional and nuclear umbrella, held up by Britain, dominates the scene? Germany, of course, is frightened of the long shadow of its militarist history, and for a long time the rest of Western Europe was as well. Some still are. It welcomed the transatlantic alliance, which conveniently enough enabled the Germans to pour their money and energy into creating an economic powerhouse, while the US got on with the less productive job of providing protection. Then along came Trump. He threatened withdrawal of American protection. He since backtracked a bit, but the American president forced the Germans, with French encouragement, of course, to have second thoughts about their American protectors. Then they had third, fourth, fifth, and sixth thoughts, as the policies of the Trump administration, those of Berlin, diverged over issues such as Ukraine, the Iran nuclear deal, America First, support for an independent judiciary, freedom of the press, climate change, the UN, and many others. Protection, as many Sicilians and Neapolitans will testify, comes with a price. Within the Western alliance, that price is support for your protector's beliefs and aims. The Germans and the rest of Europe were prepared to pay the price as long as they shared a common purpose with Washington. The European Union was accurately described by former Belgian Prime Minister Mark Iskens as an economic giant, political dwarf, and military worm. Well, that is changing. Since Brexit and Trump, the EU has been actively working towards greater European defense integration. The key to this is three acronyms. One is called CARD, for the Common Annual Review on Defense. Another is PESCO, which stands for Permanent Structured Cooperation. And the third is EDF, for European Defense Fund. CARD is meant to identify defense gaps among the EU countries. EDF will provide the cash to plug the gaps. And PESCO is meant to be the political cornerstone on which European defense cooperation rests. driven by a fear of American and British isolationism and a divergence of foreign policy aims, the EU is moving faster towards defence integration than most expected. Transatlantic decoupling may finally become a fact. This will create opportunities for Russia in its East European backyard. It may also mean the loss of coordinated Western foreign policy. America will be first and alone.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. Again, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, and I appreciate that because it's almost midnight as we are listening to this program. Midnight where Tom is living in London. Of course, in spite of the fact of trying to save all that daylight like we are trying here in the States, he has none to share this evening. So we've recognized that he does need some sleep. And Tom, I do appreciate your efforts in this regard. Let's talk first about managed democracy in Eastern Europe, and then we'll get to the $15 million pair of shoes. Managed democracy in Eastern Europe. Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, it's basically countries like Russia, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Romania. Now, all these countries, Slovakia, Romania, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland, they all joined the EU. They joined in 1993, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And a condition of this was that they have free and fair elections, basically respect in the courts, which are independent judiciary, and so forth and so on. In short, that they were democracy.
Right.
Because the EU is a democracy.
Okay.
And they don't want undemocratic states in it.
All right.
Okay. Well, what's happening now is something which the East Europeans themselves are calling managed democracy. They're also calling it the illiberal state. They're using terms like that. And what it means is that you have an election, and the elections are absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They are free and fair. They have observers looking at all the ballot papers.
Right,
everything
right.
is spot on.
But the hook is.
Okay, here comes the but.
Uh-huh.
You ready? Once they're elected, they start packing the courts with their judges.
Right.
They start locking up the journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And so they create what they call a managed democracy. The one thing that's free is the elections.
Okay.
But everything else goes out the window, and it's a winner-takes-all situation.
Real quickly, how is this selling in the European Union among the other members?
Not well. They're talking about suspending countries like Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic and Romania.
By the way, as we move on, does this benefit Russia?
Of course.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're again talking about divisions
right.
within Europe. If the EU is not powerful in this part of the world, then it creates a sort of political vacuum, and the next big power can step into it.
I think
guess which one that is.
I think that's worth watching. All right, let's move on to a pair of shoes selling for $15 million.
Gold-plated leather. And diamonds worth over $2 million. Obviously, spike heels.
Okay. And by the way, who would be buying them and who is selling them?
Well, it's being sold by a British designer called Debbie Wingham.
Mm-hmm.
And she is keeping secret who it's going to. But I look at the pictures and I think it's somewhere either in the Middle East or India.
My land.
I mean, they are really grotesque. I mean, they're not to my taste at all.
Stiletto heels.
Stiletto heels. Each one has, I think, 3 24-carat diamonds.
Has this made major news there in Europe and in the United Kingdom?
It hasn't made major news. It's just one of those. There's interesting things, you know. Who wants to buy a $15 million shoe? Move over, Jimmy Choo.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Tom, wrapping it up very quickly. Did you enjoy Halloween?
I had a great time.
Okay, and
I frightened about 100 children.
We will leave it at that. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com. Log on and become a subscriber. And, of course, Look Ahead Radio. Tom, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.